Well, good morning, Westview. Why don't you turn around and say to your neighbors that you are so welcome. Yes, that's your touch your neighbor and say, you are so welcome. That's great. It's so honored to be here and share his words once again with all of you. My name is Minoru Enoki, and my wife Izumi, she was just introduced, but would you stand, Izumi, and I want to introduce to everyone here. So and it's so great to be here once again. We've been pastoring the Japanese church in Banff over 10 years. So as you can see, I'm the authentic Japanese. So it's okay if you don't understand, you know, my message, but please ask your Holy Spirit to interpret it for you if you don't understand. But it's been a while since I preached in English, so thanks for us for giving this such a great opportunity to share his word, be here again. And I think last January, if you remember me, I preached here. So last January, is that right? How many of you here last time when I preached here? So 100%. No, maybe 70. So that time I had only 3 girls. Now they are 8 years, 6 years, and 4 years. And God added another one last year. He's in a nursery. Yeah, he's 1 year old. He's boy, by the way. Thanks, God. Now we had a company. But, you know, when all 4 gathered together my house, you know, my house is like a zoo. So screaming, shouting, laughing, fighting, right? Those who are in my stage, you know, I think you feel that how I feel. But when I look at my children, you know, there's sometimes their behavior or things they do may seem to be very inefficient or more like wasting their time. You know, like the first picture, I want to show you that. You know, for example, like my kids, like my little one, he's expert at making a mess all the time. So every meal, I have to clean up all the floors on the table. He's getting really used to it. He trained me well. He's very expert. But not only that, kids wear the socks of the different color for some reason, or wear the shoes, we call the banana shoes. Is that right? Banana shoes? Do you know what banana shoes are? Wear the shoes on the opposite side. I don't know why that happens, but always banana shoes. And I went back to Japan last February with my family, and there's so many sushi restaurants, as you can imagine. Like a family kind of style of sushi restaurant, like a Kinjo here in Calgary. And every sushi restaurant has a toy vending machine. We call the gacha gacha. So if you put money, the toys comes out, right? And the kids love it. I feel like it's wasting money, but they love it. So every time I take to the sushi restaurant, they ask me, Daddy, can I give you money? Can you give me money? But I know that toy's gonna be garbage once they get home. They're happy at the moment, but as soon as we get home, they don't even care the toy they purchase. It's wasting. But interesting enough, the recent study in the area of their psychology or brain science proves that things are wasting in their behavior, or what may seem to wasting in behavior, is actually important, significant in their growth. Did you know that? I just want to encourage all the parents who are raising up. I saw the 4 or 5 kids over here. It's actually very significant, important. We may think it's wasting, but it's actually important for their growth. You know, we as children of God, maybe when others see us, non-believers see us, maybe they think that we are wasting our time and money and our effort. For example, why Christians go to the church every Sunday? Why do they give the offerings and tithe? Why do they put so much effort into the ministry and others? It's just wasting the time and the money. But just as wasting is important, I don't know if it's the right word to say that, but I say wasting is important for the growth of children. I think it can apply to us as well. It's very important for us to waste with and for God. And besides, in terms of the evangelism, which I want to focus on today, spreading out the gospel, there's some times that we think that what we do for God is not really producing anything, wasting our time, but it's actually very important in terms of the spreading gospel. So I want to look at from the Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39 this morning. If you can cooperate with me as we read this passage, that'd be great. So let's go to the passage. Great, we have it here on the screen. So can we go together? Ready? Go. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to the solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companion went to look for him. When they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Next slide. This is great. I don't know what happened. So we just lost? Yeah, maybe the issue of the format. I'm just going to go. If you have Bible with us, why don't we open up a little bit together? It sometimes happens, right? Thanks for technology. And Mark chapter 1, verse 30, I believe there's 36. Why don't we go just 35 again? Well, it was still at night, way before the dawn. He got up and went off to the solitary place, and he prayed. Simon, though with him, went looking for him. They found him and say, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus said, "Let's go, or let us go to the rest of the village so that I can preach there also. This is why I have come." He went to their meeting place all through the Galilee, preaching, throwing out the demons. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. May your spirit move this place. Speak to us. Help us understand your way, the word that you gave us this morning. And pray in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we just read the account of the Mark this morning. And even when we're looking at the ministry of Jesus, the way he moves or interacts with people, there are a number of the occasions that we think that Jesus could do better or take a better method in order to reach out to people or be influential to the others. Like, for example, why Jesus spend extra days to meet the Lazarus, even if he knew that he was about to die? And he should have gone earlier to comfort and encourage Mary and Martha, but he intentionally stayed extra few days where he was at. Why he took the path to the Samaritans, which wasn't common things for the Jewish people in those days, which may create more conflict, but he took the path to the Samaritans. Even the passage we just read this morning, while others are looking for Jesus to do the ministry, he said, "I need to go to the other village." He could stay an extra few days to preach. After 30 years of his silence, he started his ministry. You know, even the churches today, we have the same vision that Jesus had. We want to see more people come to know the Christ. We want to see more people for the kingdom of God, right? Even here at Westview Church, you have the great vision statement. Does everyone know? Do you have B-A-B-E? I call it baby. B stands for belong. A stands for abide. Another B stands for become. Last E stands for the extent. We are here to extend his mission to reach out to people by your presence, maybe through the YouTube or the Instagrams or the medias, because we are living the same vision that Jesus had. More people to the Christ, more people for the kingdom of God. If this is the bottom line for his mission, of course he should have started his ministry where a lot of people are coming and go, where a lot of people live, like a Jerusalem, like Toronto, Vancouver, not Banff. nothing offense to Banff. I'm passing church in Banff. Right? That's our natural response. But do you know where Jesus started his ministry? Not Jerusalem, where the center of the economy, culture, politics. But he started ministry the land called Galilee. Come on, Jesus. Don't waste your time. You got only 3.5 years until you get crucified and resurrected. Meet more people. Do you preach to many people? Don't waste your time. That's what I think. But for some reason, he started his ministry in a land called Galilee. And just, this is, yeah, here we go. Quick review of the Galilee. Probably most of you know that. Galilee's, I kind of, you know, made a footnote here. According to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, Galilee of the Galilee of the Gentiles. Jewish hated this land because there are so many international marriages between Jewish and Gentile. They hate it when the blood is mixed. Land with the darkness, sea, distressed land. Despise the people, we all know that. Land with lack of faith, according to Matthew chapter 13. Therefore, Jesus couldn't do the many miracles in the Nazareth, Capernaum, because of lack of the faith. And interesting enough, the F, literacy rate is less than 5%. Did you know that? In ancient Jewish culture, which means that many people were unable to read, write, and those who could write a letter and lead, like Paul, was called or considered as elite. But many people. That's why Jesus, when Jesus shared the gospel, he used a lot of agriculture terminology, a metaphor. Because of their understanding or limited, you know, comprehension or educational level. He spent most of the time here in Galilee. Why? And we can certainly see that there is clear purpose and intention of him doing so. According to Isaiah chapter 9, Galilee is considered as land of darkness, of distress. But Jesus never despised those who are weak. Amen? He never forget those who are poor. Besides, it was his passion to save those who are weak and poor spiritually. And you know, this is exactly flow of the gospel. We were once in the enemy of God, all of us here, without any exception. We are all living, you are all living in the context of the Galilee. We are living our life without recognizing God's presence, his existence, aren't we? We are living our own life, just like people in the Galilee. But Jesus came to save us, just like he came to the Galilee. 4 years ago, I don't think I shared this testimony last time I preached here. I went to Peru for the mission trip. Did I share that? Maybe you don't remember. I was going to do it again. Yeah, I went to the mission trip in Peru. And it was one of the most challenging, and I said dangerous mission trip I ever attended. Because I had to live in Amazon in 5 days, not shopping, by the way, but Amazon in 5 days. I had to be vaccinated for like 4 or 5 shots for such as like yellow fever, tetanus, or malaria, right? Because there's a lot of mosquitoes. And so I have to be really ready to go to mission trip. And one of the interesting moments, oh, thanks so much for the slider. This is a shower room. Nothing like a Western style. It's always nice and whole water comes down. No. We have to dig up from the rainwater. You see the over there? And as soon as I took off the shirt, you know what happened? Nighttime, there's no light. No Wi-Fi, of course. As soon as I took off the shirt, I hear the sound, and I was getting maybe 30 or 40 mosquitoes try to bite me, middle of the night. So I have to keep dancing while I'm taking shirt. You know how real I look? Because, you know, they might have the yellow fever. So I have to just keep dancing while I'm taking shower. It's my first time ever in my lifetime. But during my spending time in Amazon, I began to think the why Jesus came to this earth. Why and I went to the Amazon. And I kind of started figuring out that why Jesus came. You know, by the way, the purpose of the mission trip in Peru was part of the DTS program, so I went to train the local pastors with other pastor from Vancouver. And because of the benefit of their technology these days, I could send just my message or teaching through the media without taking any risk. I could do that, right? I'm so glad Pastor Tyra went to the Rwanda, because it's so important for us to go there. Because the more I spend time with them, more I learn their language, more I learn their culture, I just began to feel or sense that my word is what's actually touching their heart. You know, day one feels like they're looking at me, you know, some kind of foreigners. Where did this guy come from? But the more I spend, eat what they eat, I have their main dish here. Doesn't it look so yummy? It's good. Doesn't look like it's good. And right next to that, this is kind of shocking, right? Do you know what this animal is? Armadillo, yes, right. They eat the armadillo. I didn't. I wish I could try that. But it was the last day that we left in Amazon, so I didn't have time to eat that. But I Googled it, what tastes like it. Do you guys know? Has anyone ever tried an armadillo in your lifetime? It tastes like a pork. Way better than a pork. Damn, I should have tried that. So anyway, my next assignment for this trip. But eat what they eat. Again, I began to feel that my teaching, preaching, again, whatever the sharing was really touching their heart. Jesus didn't just send his good news, gospel, to us by the angel, the other messenger. But he actually came. He actually came to communicate with us, to abide in us. For what? The God became the man, taking all the risk, throwing up all the authority in behind. The only reason he came to this earth to save us. That's why we're all here, right? That's why we're all here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God things to be grasped. If we want to live the same vision that Jesus had, if we want to see the same fruits that Jesus had in those days, I think it's time for us to come to learn from him. The passage we just read here in verse 35, here's what Jesus did as extension of his kingdom. Jesus got up and he prayed. He prayed. He was always praying, as most of you know that. Prayer seems to be a very inefficient, unproductive practice in a Christian living, but it's actually not only leads us into the deeper relationship with God, but his mission was extended as a result of the prayers. This is something we cannot forget about it. Jesus' ministry was extended as a result of the prayer. And this particular phrase, Jesus pray, the Merck used only three times in his account, Jesus pray. And one of the occasions that we just read in chapter 1, Jesus pray. And if you go to chapter 6, when Jesus fed 5,000 men, Jesus prayed again. And lastly, in verse 14, at the Garden of Gethsemane, again, Jesus prayed. Only three times. Of course, he was praying all the time. But the reason why Mark used this particular phrase, Jesus prayed, in his account, there's something that he wants us to know while he was praying. And the Gospel of John actually gives us the clue or idea of what Jesus praying in John chapter 5, verse 30. Maybe we can read together this passage, shall we? Go. I can do nothing on my own. Because I do not seek my own will, but only the will of him who sent. What Jesus was playing was here. He wasn't playing his own will, his own desire, but he was always praying the will of the Father. Prayer is not just an opportunity for us to give a request to God, but it is the opportunity. Essentially, prayer is the opportunity for us to listen to God and seek will of the Father. You know, in verse 13, Jesus said he went off to pray. And the same Greek word is used in verse 38, he went off to the other village in the context of their reaching out, which means that he was praying for the soul, the lost soul. It's good to say that. You know, as a Westview, you've been learning from the book of Nehemiah. Is that right? Nice broken bricks here. And I've watched our last few service through the online, and I was really encouraged by hearing the pastor Gary and Tala's message and wonderful worship teams. You know, such a wonderful service, and I was really encouraged that. And even so, I don't think I need to go to all the details of their Nehemiah, because you probably have a good idea of who that guy is. But Nehemiah is the guy who received vision from God to rebuild the country, right? To rebuild the wall. But do you know when he received his vision and promise from God? It wasn't in the midst of what he was doing something, it was in action, but he received the vision from in the midst of praying. When he was praying to God, he received the vision from God. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, with the passage here that as soon as I heard these words, he had really bad news on verse 3, and as soon as I heard that these words, we can go together, I sat down and wept, mourned for the days. And I continued fasting and praying before God of the heaven. The reason why I underscore the sat down, the yashav in Hebrew, is a very comprehensive word. He didn't just sit down before God, just like this. I'm kind of short guy, maybe I shouldn't do that. But this word has meaning of like a meditation, rest, knowing who God is. That word yashav means. And how does the kingdom of God extend? This is something we need to grasp from this passage. How does kingdom of God extend in your context of your life? I think it's simply when we come down before him to sit down, yashav, to seek his will. And when we come before him to sit down, you know what happened? God gives you strength to stand up, next slide, and work. Purpose of doing this in sitting down in yashav before God is not just sitting itself, not just praying, but as we come before him to sit down before God, God can give you strength to stand up and work. Amen? And Isaiah chapter 30, next passage, this is a remarkable passage that he prophesies. In returning to me and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confident trust is your strengths. In quietness and confident trust is your strengths. And this morning we are sitting all nice in a comfy chair. Isn't that great to come to the church? But don't sleep though. But I don't think it's difficult for us to sit down on the chair, are we? But what makes it difficult though is that when we face the difficult situation, challenge, it's sometimes so difficult for us to sit down before God. And we try to deal with by ourselves. But God is inviting us. This is a calling for you to come before Him, to sit down, Yeshav, before Him. That's where you gain your strengths, where that's where God pour out your faith. Because this is calling. In Paul himself, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, here's what he say there. Even when we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By the grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is great. Christ seated with us. So He's trying to remind us, what is our calling? We call to be. He's sitting with us. Last year, two of my daughters took her skate lesson in Kalmar. And my job was to take them every Monday night, sit there for 45 minutes to just watch them, right? And I wasn't allowed to touch any smartphone or screens, so I had to give my full attention to my daughters because they always ask me after the practice, Daddy, why are you watching? Why are you watching? Every time, why are you watching? So every time they say to me, and I answer to them, of course, honey, I was watching you. That was a great move. I don't think I can do it. That's our weekly conversation. And one day, I was watching the practice. But while I was watching the practice, I was listening to their podcast with my AirPod. Do you know the AirPod, Arthur? Like a wireless type of their earphone. So if I cover that, I don't think they can watch, right? So because I didn't want them to notice that I was listening to something. So then I was watching, of course, and when practice finished that night, and they came up and asked me, Daddy, why are you watching? Guess what I say? Yes, I was watching. I was listening, but I was watching. And as soon as I say that, my oldest daughter, she has really sharp eyes. I don't know if this is the right English expression, that she has really sharp eyes. As soon as I say that, she say, no, Daddy, you're not watching. Your ear is the AirPod. I saw the AirPod. You know what I say? I have nothing to say back. So I'm sorry. Well, it's only one time and ever. But I learned a very important lesson from that conversation. Children, regardless of daughter or son, they need the eyes of the father or mother, right? Always. But we sometimes forget that God always seeing us no matter what. You know, I failed to do that. I'm the imperfect dad. But our Heavenly Father never failed to watch over you. But oftentimes, we kind of forget about how God sees us. Even times we have no energy to pray, we sometimes forget our Father and how He looks at us. And this Almighty God, I just want to remind you this morning once again, is inviting us this particular mission and calling to reach out, to spread the gospel. Therefore, Jesus said in verse 38, we should go to the other village. He didn't say, I should go, but he said, let us go. Let us go. Okay, sorry. Once again, why don't you turn around and say to your neighbors, let us go. Let us go. Okay? Let us go. This Almighty God who sees you as inviting us to participate this particular mission, to spread the gospel. He didn't work by himself, but he always included his disciples. Let us go. You know, God chose what is low and distress in the world, according to the Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. We may wonder why. Because his wisdom is different from the world. So what pleases God, if you go to verse 21, I think we have a passage here that, if you can read together with me, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Amen. He chose us. And this is the bottom line. God made him to be a sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God chose you not because you're perfect or flawless. No, because we are the weak. We are imperfect. He chose you to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of that, as we are the reflector of his glory in Jesus Christ, here's our challenge for this week. We always need to face towards to God, no matter what. No matter what. I'd like to ask the musician to come up and play a song. Well, I'm going to show you the one last slide. As most of you know, this is our tabernacle of Moses, right? And this is the place where the high priest worship and pray the times. And one of the most important places in this structure in tabernacle is what we call the Holy of the Holies, the most holy place. We all know this, right? Where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And this place is so special that only the high priest were permitted to enter this place once a year on the Day of Atonement. And interesting though, whenever they travel, whenever they stay, this Holy of the Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, had got to be located on west. Come on, Westview. This is your calling. Always placed on the west. That's why I make the arrows on the west. Not the east, but the west. Which means the high priest entered from the east side of the gate. But east, by the way, means like invitation, welcoming in Hebrew. So they always need to enter from the east towards to the west, right? So as they approach to the west, just like we are facing each other like this, the east and west encounter each other. Are you following? Because here's my point. As we are the reflector of Jesus Christ, we always need to face towards the west. I'm not just talking about the direction-wise, but a spiritual direction. Always need to face the west, where the glory of God shines, where we receive his light. Because if we turn back to the west instead of walking on the east, what happened? we are not walking in the light, but actually we are walking in the shadow. Does that make sense? In a pagan idols in those days, most of the altar they made was located in the east side. In the King Solomon, in his later years, you know, he built their altar for the Amosh, God of Moab. I think we have a passage here, 1 Kings, this last passage. Could you read together with me? Then Solomon built high places for the worshiping Chemosh, the owner of the Moab, on the hill which is east of Jerusalem, and for the owner of the son of Ammon. He was a great king, very influential guys, but in his last days, he started walking not in the light of his glory, but in shadow. He started to face towards the east. He should have faced towards the west, but he began to walk on the opposite side. I truly believe that this is a calling as the Westview Church, as the Westview Church, as the Westview Church. Our face always needs towards the west. So my last question to you, where are you facing towards this morning? West, east, west. That's where shines the glory pour out and upon us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminding us our calling, the vision that here you have given to us, God. Father, days like this, it's never easy to face towards you, God. There's so many things happening in life, all the busyness, distraction. But Father, we thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to refocus you, God, and help us to focus our eyes on the west all the times, where the Ark of the Covenant of the kept, which represent presence, the glory of you, God. I believe that this is a calling, not just for individual, but at the church, the Westview Church. Thank you for your word. I pray in Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody say, amen. Amen. I'm going to pass on to the worship teams. Thank you.
Thank you, Monroe.